Omaha Talkers, how are you? Welcome to episode 17 of Omaha Talks. Today we are sitting down in the home studio talking to our friend Raul Herrera. I'm your co-host Parker Steele, in with co-host
Brandon Herbal.
Welcome to the show, Raul. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Matt. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I met you in class, and you told me you had this talk show, but you had this talk show.
You got this little thing going on.
A little thing, you know, and you invited me on the show, and I felt really honored, you know, and I just wanted to have an excuse to have a couple beers with you, but to do something so productive, it feels great.
It is nice to get something done while you're hanging.
Yeah.
And we are having beers. And having a... And some nice little Irish whiskey.
Thank
some,
you.
Some
the
Bushmills aged in bourbon casks.
Oh, so
it's fantastic. Little trivia for you guys. So Bushmills is the oldest functioning distillery in Ireland.
Is that right?
Adding on to that, Bushmills is apparently a Protestant whiskey, whereas Jameson is a Catholic whiskey. Okay? And Brandon and I's good friend Billy Fox was in, I think, Boston... He was somewhere Irishy, and he went to a bar and ordered a shot of either Jameson or Bushmills. I can't remember. They were like, "Oh, you don't belong here. You need to go across the street to the Catholic or Protestant bar because we don't carry that shit."
Huh.
And he was just like, "Okay."
What, Protestants and Catholics make alcohol?
Well, it's Ireland, so it's divided. You know, there's Northern Ireland, which is mostly Catholic, and Southern Ireland, which is Protestant.
Yeah.
Please fact check any of this.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's the geographical. But anyway, it's so old.
That's so crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Because like right on the bottle, 1608.
That's
are
a long
you
time
kidding
ago.
Me?
That's more than a couple of hundred years.
That's
ago.
More. Yeah.
One. Yeah.
This ain't grandpa's whiskey.
This definitely. That's great grandpa's whiskey. I had
exactly.
a show, and back home. It was called Whiskey and Poetry. They had this Irish guy there, and he had interviewed us before we had the performance. There was a poetry spoken word performance, to do spoken word as well. And he interviewed us to kind of get, like, a feel of our personality.
Yeah.
And he picked a bottle of whiskey depending on what our personality was.
Oh,
and I forgot what mine was, but it was, like, a $150 bottle. And so what would... How the
Did he happen to be a distributor for that particular whiskey?
No, because I don't think so. He just happened to be... I don't know. He's this tall Irish dude, bald, and he was like a salesperson for something.
Okay.
But he had different, like, labels and different, like... So it wasn't one specific, like, brand, I think.
Okay.
But, so the whole point of the show was, like, for each performer... there was an audience, and it was just in this old abandoned church. It was gorgeous. There was an audience, and they'd all have, like, a cut, like, a shot, and they'd pour... So whoever the poet was, they'd pour the alcohol of that poet.
Sure.
So you'd be drinking the whiskey while that person is performing the poetry. And before they would perform, they would explain, like, so what are you looking for? Like, how to drink whiskey? Like, if you put whiskey in your hands, you go like this. You smell, like, all the herbs and the flavors. So it was super, super cool. And my friend Gordon Ip, he also goes to UNO. He moved here from California, originally from Hong Kong. They gave him a job.
Out of class with Gordon.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Cool dude. I've known him for like 8 years. But what's it called? They gave him a Japanese whiskey. And apparently, I forgot what the guy's name, but...
Yamazaki.
Is that what his
Scotch,
name is?
Scotch, yeah.
So yeah, so he went to Scotland or Ireland, where the fuck they make these drinks at. And he learned. He was like an apprentice to his fucking master. And he went back to Japan and he
Killed
opened
it.
His own distillery. And now he's like one of the top dogs.
Killed it.
So we had some of his whiskey and that shit was crazy. And there was 32 ridges on the bottle. To represent the Chinese calendar.
Cool.
So it's just like there's all this rich history with it while drinking great alcohol, while listening to great poetry.
That's awesome.
So it was a dope time.
So
finished that bottle real quick.
I never
put it in my hands though. It seems like a waste, but
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah,
you
rub
it
in and smell it.
Yeah.
And the same thing if you put like a little bit of little bit like on your tongue and you just like let it evaporate, like all the alcohol rushes to your head and you get this crazy head change. It's pretty cool. Why not, you know, try it every now and then? Maybe
yeah.
We'll try it later. But
so, all right, just checking in. Raul and I met Raul going to UNO. We've had a few classes together in the communications department.
Yeah.
And he's done some stuff that I think is super cool. Talented dude. And you're on the forensics team at UNO.
Yeah,
speech
and debate, essentially.
Speech and debate. Yeah, it's not CSI.
Definitely.
Such an odd verbiage. Like
forensics, what they use that for, because I always when I first joined forensics, I was like, why do you guys call it forensics? Yeah. It's because you do a lot of research and studying and digging of
sure.
information.
Sure.
So it's in that sense of forensics of, like, digging deeper.
Right.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay. But
interesting.
Like,
huh.
Yeah, when you think of forensics, you think
it's a little
CSI.
Animology for
yeah.
you guys.
It's a big word.
But, so, I don't know if I got it right. So,
yeah, what's that mean?
Yeah,
thank
the
you.
Study of words, like the meaning of words.
Etymology.
Yeah, so, okay, so you guys, just kind of talking about what you do. So you are originally from California, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California, sir.
And you ended up at UNO due to, like, an exchange through schools? How did that work?
Through coaches. So I went to East Los Angeles Community College, shout out to ELAC. And so I had done spoken word since I was 16. I was touring all over the U.S. doing spoken word,
wow.
poetry. First year of being, I work for a nonprofit right now called Get Lit Words Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
Get Lit's hella funny because it was like before like Get Lit was a thing. So like, but it stands for Get Literature. Cheesy, but it's cool. Whatever.
No,
I got paid to do
it. It almost has more weight to it now.
Yeah, it's
you know
so
I mean?
Cool. No, it's so cool because they're just like always making jokes.
Right.
So I started doing that when I was 16, and I auditioned to be a part of it. I had no idea what it was. I had no formal education when it came to like writing or English. I fucking hate reading, even to this day, ironically enough.
So how'd you end up there, man? Like, what was your high school like?
My high school was cool, man. Like, I was a jock. I did football. I did football before at Pop Warner football. I did wrestling, track, cross country. I joined Get Lit, and I didn't want to go to school. I hate school.
Yeah.
Like it was never my cup of tea.
That's awful.
But to appease my parents, I went to community college. Like, hey, I'll give you this. And so I got to continue my...
I'll give you this.
Yeah,
I
love it.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll attempt it.
Here you
I'll
go.
Tell you right now, I hate it.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
do it. Yeah.
It's
oh
just
my
not
God.
My thing, man. It just never fit well for me. And so, but I got
to
keep on doing spoken word poetry, and I got to go to the White House twice because of poetry. Never got to meet Obama, but I did see the First Lady, and I did see the First Lady of Mexico. That was really cool.
Okay.
She was gorgeous.
Okay, hold on real quick. Michelle Obama. Is she as tall as she looks?
She was got so we were at a seat, and she was on that like a elevated stage.
Okay.
From where I was sitting, she looked very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super tall.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure any one of us could Google how tall she is right now, but
it's
I'm
a different person.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
right.
not gonna do it. Not
right.
gonna because I have my hands are full.
Right. Your hands are full.
Not gonna Google.
Okay, so you go all right, so you don't like school, you appease your folks by
yeah.
going to this community college, East Los Angeles Community College. And then you get involved with this Get Lit program.
Before, so I was involved with Get Lit in high school.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
okay.
so I was doing, and I didn't care about school, but I did care about poetry, and I did care about writing.
Because you like performing?
I like performing.
She's 5'11".
She's 5'11"?
Really?
That's taller than me, man.
That's pretty tall, though.
Man, I would have guessed like 6'3".
I would have guessed 6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, 6'2 for sure, especially with your standing. But power makes you feel taller, or makes other people
makes
seem
you look
taller.
Taller.
Mm-hmm. But I had a public speaking class in community college. The public speaker teacher happened to be the main coach there. And he's like this award-winning speech and debater coach. He coached at this Cal State college, and he led them to championships. But like, he just wanted to get away from the limelight. And like, now he's teaching at this like humble little community college. And our first assignment was to memorize a spoken word poem. And
do you want to get out of the limelight, or do you want to like... make a little cash.
Probably more, because there's more money in the community college level
right.
than there is at the university level. That's what he told
oh,
me.
Oh, really?
That's what he told me, because it's harder. There's so much money in Los Angeles right now for community colleges.
No shit.
Which is what I'm trying to do, like, right now. I'm trying to get my master's degree after I graduate from UNO, get my master's degree at Cal State LA, and then I have almost a guaranteed position at ELAC as a teacher for communication studies.
Nice.
And that starts at, like, 70, 80 a year. And, like, that's for by the time I'll do that, be at that level, be, like, 27. That's a pretty good little chunk of change. Plus, I'll be, like, writing my other shit and doing all that.
Yeah.
But, so, I joined forensics because I was, like, oh, I get to perform. I've been performing, like, most of my life. And I became really, really good at it. My second tournament ever, oh, I'll tell you this. My first, this is about Jackson. Hope you, if this is cool with you guys, is that fine?
You know, this is those.
Well, this is a long time ago, guys. Long time ago, okay? This is my first tournament. Oh, my second tournament ever was state championships, and I got second place.
Okay.
Hungover as balls. My first tournament ever, I had this new piece. It was in, like, each speech event has to be 10 minutes long of information. And the night before, this had when I first discovered, it's this thing called ecstasy. And I don't know if you ever heard of this thing. So I discovered ecstasy, and I was like, dude, ecstasy in, like, houses and listening to fucking house music. I was like, I hate EDM, but I love this music. And so I went to this house party, and I took two pills, and these are domestics. And so domestics are kind of, like, way worse for you just because they're, like, you don't know if one's going to be a meth bomb or you don't know what the fuck's mixed into it because there's a, whatever, there's this whole thing with drugs. So I do drugs the night before. I'm drinking and partying and ecstasy, whatever. And it's like, and I have to be at the bus to get the school bus to like take us to this tournament at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not done partying till 5. And I'm still like rolling balls. And I get home around 6. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna sleep for 15 minutes.
I'm going to sleep for 15 minutes.
I'm going to sleep for 15 minutes.
I'll be all right.
I'll be famous fine. Last word. Yeah. I'll be fine. Wake up an hour later. And I'm rolling balls. I don't know if you guys ever tried this. You probably never because you guys are saints. My head's like just spinning. All the lights are super bright. Like my body's feeling so tingly. And I call my friend Gordon. And Gordon, I was like, yo, Gordon, like I need you to like pick me up. And like I need one. I need one right now. I need a favor. He's like, all right. I missed the bus. He drove me an hour and a half to where the tournament was. I go to the tournament. I get second place. It was all fucked up.
Wow.
And so I knew from that day that I had a natural inclination to be talented at speech and debate. And so I stuck with it. And it got me.
Hold on. Now, I love that accomplishment. You're like, man, I can nail it in this condition. Then I can do it in any condition.
Seriously?
Meaning
man.
A professional setting,
yeah,
or maybe
sure.
A more relaxed personal setting.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I just knew it because I think life is funny enough where everything's connected, you know? And, like, this is might be an excuse for, like, my delinquency, or this might be what I actually think. I'm still trying to figure that out. As I get older, but all the stupid shit you've done, I think leads into like your strengths. Like I told someone the other day, I was like, most people's strengths now used to be their weaknesses once upon a time.
Strong,
you know?
People, I think,
yeah.
Or people that are
used to be weak,
yeah,
right? In a sense, and so drugs are so romantic to me, and this is like, and I'm not trying to say this to sound cool or anything like that, but they're so romantic because it does strip away a lot of those walls for you, and like maybe it's a man thing, maybe it's just a human thing, but like doing drugs, like it does strip you away from a lot of things, and you find yourself in those positions where you have nothing left to hide behind, and you find those thoughts.
But
and,
hold on, I'm gonna interrupt real
please
quick.
Please do
real quick. So although I totally understand what you're saying,
yeah.
It's like I feel like people kind of get sucked into that,
yeah,
feeling, and then they can't perform, especially people that are creative, you know,
yeah,
whether it be like musicians, stand-up comics, or what have you, you know, the guys that kind of fall into that. So I totally agree with you. Like, I feel like when your inhibitions are removed and you do feel stripped away, like, and like vulnerability doesn't hurt you,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like you welcome it and it feels good, but then I feel like when I said strong people earlier, like I feel like there are a lot of people who kind of get
lost, yeah,
for lack of a better term, addicted,
yeah. Yeah.
To feeling that stripped awayness, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And so,
I definitely agree.
And so it's such a interesting double edged sword, you know. Like there's. I'm really interested,
yeah,
in stand-up comics, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like guys like you and I, we have a lot in common with that.
For sure.
That, art form,
yeah,
you know. And, you know, like, I have always heard that the guys that have to, you know, have drinks before they perform or do or whatever, then it just, like, it's like, what do you do when you're in Nyack, New York?
And you got anything.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just, like, you can't do your job.
Yeah.
When you're, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a weird, and everybody's seen Behind the Music. I mean, shit.
Yeah. And I think I think it's a different, it's also, like, intention, too. You know, like, do you want to be famous because you want to be famous?
Right.
Or you just happen to be famous because you're, like, really good at what you do, you know?
Sure.
And so,
you're
like,
talented.
Because you're talented. I think
right.
I think that's why people who do get lost in the lure of drugs or in fame or anything like that, I think they don't have a strong enough base in who they are or what they want to achieve in life to kind of keep them afloat.
Right.
You know, because the same things that'll hold you down, like keep you anchored, will also keep you down and keep you anchored.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I think that's the battle of it all, and that's why I think you see so many comeback stories, and you see so many tragic stories.
Right.
Because it's a hard thing, and there's no right answer to it either. Because if you try to think like, oh, there's people who are successful with drug use and finding rehabilitation, and people who are not, it's not so clear cut, because people are so different from each other. There's no one answer to someone's drug addiction. There's no one answer to someone's art form. It's so different.
Yeah.
And you'll never be, because like my experience with my father, and this is me just like shooting into a bag.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? Shooting into a bag. Like my experience with my father is different than your experience and your with your dad. You know,
or lack thereof.
You know, but and same thing with my drug use and your drug use. But like, it just manifests in different ways, and I think to judge someone on such a like a success and fail paradigm is such a disservice to the people who are consumers of their art form, and such a disservice to the people who are creating that art. There's no answer to it, man. And if there was an answer, drug addiction has been around since forever, you know? And I think there's even animals who do drugs. I forgot that there's like a certain lemur who eats this leaf. I don't know if you've seen that video. There's a certain lemur and knows it gets like...
Well, of course it's a monkey.
It's a... For sure.
You know
we're
what
all
I mean?
Monkeys, man.
Yeah.
We're all monkeys. But like it eats the leaf and it knows it gets messed up and it'll knock itself out for days.
I have... Okay, I've never seen that video.
There's a video.
But
man.
I have seen the video of a moose that's eating like fermented berries off of... Maybe they're on the ground and they produce alcohol. This moose is loaded, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Moose freak me out.
They're scary. I've
never
seen
one.
I've never seen one, but
me
I know they're big.
I've never seen one in life.
Is it multiple moose? Is it meese? What's
dude,
what's
it's
the,
gotta
what's
be
plural?
Mooses.
Mooses?
It can't be meese.
I know.
Those things are huge. You know, they're super aggressive.
I'm looking at the plural. All right,
yeah, let's get it down.
We keep talking.
No, I know what you mean, man. Like, it's such a...
Well, I think also, too, like, success. Like, what is success? I think that's
it's totally
for
subjective,
yeah.
And like, for people, especially, like, artists or people in the public eye, as soon as they don't see you anymore, like, he's in the Where Are They Now file. And it's like, dude, no.
Part of moose is moose.
Yeah.
Boom.
Singular and plural. What
we
a
saw
word.
300 moose the other day.
Do you need more of these? More of this?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you know the thing, and
just
not
kiss.
To go like in depth with like where I'm at or anything, but
thank
like
you, sir.
If you think about the time where like make believe, to me that was like my most success.
What's make believe?
All right.
It's this clothing company that I had.
Okay.
But I make enough to provide for my family and like make a really good income right now.
Dude, by all
that's
intents and purposes,
like,
that's fucking success.
So that's success, too. So it's weird. It's a success comes in very different forms and
yeah.
levels and wherever you're at in your life and monetary, but also, like...
Well, like,
yeah.
you think about being super rich. Okay, let's say you wake up and you're Jeff Bezos. You own Amazon. You have so much money. It's almost, like, irrelevant. Like, it's not even, like, a thing. You
yeah.
shouldn't even think about money. But I couldn't imagine, okay, let's say, all right, here we go. So you're Jeff Bezos,
yeah.
richest guy in the world. Like, I'm going to buy these boats. I'm going to buy this plane. Well, you got to get, well, you got to have somebody to take care of that shit. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go through that guy to take care of that. And I'm going to buy a house in Malibu. I'm going to
yeah.
buy a house in Manhattan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, you just have a whirlwind of shit to deal
well,
with. You know what I mean? Like
more employees to like,
more people.
Care.
Yeah. All this shit. Like I honestly
we
think...
We say that now. If I had the money, who knows? But it's one of those things where it's just like... The amount of money it takes to just fucking keep any of that shit afloat.
Being
keep,
rich is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally expensive. And really, like, at the end of the day... God, I hate that cliche. Say it way too often.
What?
At the end of the day...
Oh, get over yourself. Continue.
It's a fucking...
Get over
dumb.
It.
Okay, so... it's just more shit.
Yeah.
It's more shit. You
yeah.
just got more shit. It's like, I got these jet skis. It's like, oh, that's some
I
shit
like
you got to take care of. I didn't
see that.
Yeah.
Notorious B.I.G., Puff Daddy, and Mace. My money, my problem. They said it.
They knew
Puff
it.
Puff Daddy,
yeah.
man. That guy's crazy.
He is crazy. Should we talk about Puff Daddy for a second?
He's legit crazy. He went on to his kids... Fucking
oh, yeah.
Little League field and
beat up
threw helmets at the
coach. Dude, I don't know if you guys watch like Breakfast Club or
all the time.
Stuff. Yeah, but did you see that like 50 Cent calling him out?
And then
he
was like, hey.
Puff Daddy was like, I want to take you shopping.
Yeah, no, I just watched that recently.
Yeah, and then Puff Daddy, like, came on to, like, rebuttal, and he's like,
yeah, I did.
I don't know. Yeah, I did say that.
I was just trying to be nice.
Yeah, it's like, you need to look like you need new clothes.
Yeah.
Dude, the Birdman on The Breakfast Club, like, that is, talk about meme culture. Put some speck on my name. By the way, Raul's eating Slim Jims right now.
I'm so sorry.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
I'm so sorry.
Raul came to do. I was so excited. I'm so honored to your podcast. Just opened a Slim Jim and is eating.
Is that disrespectful?
No,
it's fine.
I also tell him to put some respect on my name, like at least once a week.
You're fucking disgusting. Who does?
I say that to Missy, like at least once a week.
Put some respect on my name.
Yeah.
You know what's so weird about, isn't that a weird thing? The whole, like, Birdman,
Lil Wayne,
that's some weird shit.
Dude, I'm so engulfed in, like, I watch Complex, like, Sneaker
yeah.
Shopping and,
yeah.
like, all that shit.
Yeah.
Birdman was just
I think most people do,
because
I watch it too.
They were just talking about, like, how he's spending Lil Wayne's money. It's fucked up, actually. It's really fucked up. So
no,
Missy,
it's a weird thing,
but
dude.
Missy and I went and saw Lil Wayne a couple years ago. Played a bunch of shit.
Did
he? Because he has, like... Because he doesn't own the rights to those songs.
He doesn't have the rights to those songs.
It's, like, fucked up. We, like...
Well, yeah,
like,
he doesn't look like he's in good shape, though.
Well, he's had a couple seizures. Like, yeah, he has...
Seizures from what, lean?
No, from,
lean?
I mean, I'm sure it
no,
probably played a part.
He has, like, epilepsy or something.
He does?
Yeah.
Damn.
But, yeah, I don't know. It was just, like, a bummer. It's just, like, you know...
Dude, when he was playing guitar on stage, you ever seen the videos of that?
No.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's hard to watch.
Was it a purple stage? When there's, like, crowd?
He had, like, a turquoise Fender Jaguar, which is a really nice,
and
solid
skateboards, and he does a little bit of...
Decent skateboarder. I've seen him skateboard. I don't know. I liked some of that Lil Wayne stuff. This is where we ended up. We were talking about fame, success, drugs, and now we're talking about Lil Wayne.
Hey, nothing wrong with
that. That, the Carter 3 or whatever, I had never heard of anything like that. It was so strange, you know? Like...
We came off of, like, the stage of our wedding to Amelie.
Make it rain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
This guy
so
the most gothic ass
wedding. Yeah, we made rain on the stage.
That's
yeah.
right, man.
Yeah.
That is right. I've been to one strip club before, and it was a very sad night. I went to, last year, actually, I went to Vegas. My my sisters, they asked me, I have two older sisters, and they're like, hey, do you want to come to Vegas with us? I was like, no, because, like, I have, like, really bad memories with Vegas. I just have no self-control. And, like,
your two older sisters... You want to go to Vegas?
Yeah, I want to go to Vegas. Because my sister's boyfriend, he was in the Navy, and his friend, he's in the submarine, and he does, like, nuclear shit with the submarine. I don't fucking know. But he makes a bank of money. And, like, nuclear shit with submarines, and he came back up, and like,
he came
all this
back
money.
Up. Literally.
What goes down must come up. And so he had all this money, and he wanted to take all of his homies to Vegas and just fucking party. And she's like, just come, like, it'd be, like, everything's paid for, you'd be fine. I'm like, okay, whatever. And we went out, he, like, bought this Havana for, like, fucking $2,500, like, on the spot, cash. It was great. It was
Havana
amazing.
What?
It was like this, so imagine going to, like, a pool party.
Like a beach.
Cabana?
Like a...
Is it called a
cabana? Did I say Havana?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Cabana.
Yeah.
Cabana, for sure.
You can get those,
like,
at Funplex.
Is that a place in Nebraska?
It's a, like, a water
no,
here.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah, same thing, same thing. Yeah, same thing. $100. So we went to Vegas, and I had never been in a strip club before. I told myself I would never go to the strip club because I just don't like contrived relationships. Like, just not my thing. It's a real thing. It sounds dumb.
No,
fuck
no,
you.
I got
fuck you. It's
just
a real thing, man.
Yeah.
And so
aside from the fact that it's just kind of gross.
Yeah, well, that too. But
well,
like, just
there they have, like, buffets and shit. Like, the last
that's
time
disgusting.
Was, like,
yeah,
I don't strip clubs. But so they have the world's not the world. I don't fucking remember now. But they have, like, the world's biggest. I'm just gonna say it, the world's biggest strip club.
Okay.
It's called Sapphire in Las Vegas. And my sister's like, hey, come to the strip club with us. And I was like, no, I don't want to go.
That's interesing.
My sisters are super cool. I love my sisters. They're the,
clearly,
the most amazing.
Very
people.
Cool.
That's why if I were to get famous, I wouldn't be scared. Because I'd literally give all my money to my sisters and tell them to handle it however they see fit.
Oh, my God.
Like,
I hope they hear this.
Well, they should know this already, you know? But, and so... We go to the strip club. They convince me to go. Like, you go. I'm like, I'm not going to get any fucking dances. Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had just cashed one of my... Oh, this is going to suck. I cashed one of my first Dante paychecks, which is the plan.
We're
going to
talk about Dante.
Dante's
this.
A little bit.
After this first strip club story. We're gonna talk about the play you wrote.
For sure. And because I had a what are they when they pay you before like it happens?
In advance.
I got it in advance.
Jesus Christ.
I got like a grand for in advance, right? For this play that I've never written a play before. Who fucking knows who I am? All this shit. So we go to Sapphire in Las Vegas. And everyone's dancing, we get VIP, it's super cool, I'm drinking Grey Goose and Red Bull, because that's who I am, and we're chilling, and the girls keep on coming up to me, and I'm like, no, I'm fine, and I look like a Guido at the time, like, I'm, like, dressed super nice, my hair's all fucking slicked back, I look like I have a lot of money, right?
You're drinking Grey Goose.
Grey Goose and Red Bull. Cranberry, no, but there's Cranberry, definitely. And so my sister's like, no, just get a dance, I was like, no, like, stop, I told you, no. And my sisters end up buying me a dance from this girl. Her name was Lakota. If you're out there, I miss you. I love you. Call me back. Just kidding.
Lakota's probably doing great these days.
She's probably doing amazing.
I bet she went back to school.
I hope so.
She was probably in school.
Probably, man.
All right.
Because I meet Lakota and her nipple piercings, and they're in my face, and they're amazing. And I fall in love with Lakota. And $500 later, I wake up and I'm not with Lakota and I don't have anything from her.
Oh,
and I told myself, I was like, see, I don't want to go to strip clubs because I fall in love too easy. Fall in love way too easy.
Now wait, these are the two people that you want to give all your money to.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They spent their money to give me the dance.
Oh, okay.
Right. But like, they didn't see me give all my money to the dancer. So there was a slight oversight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey.
But yeah, so strip clubs. I don't fuck with strip clubs. I think there's other ways to have fun.
Or spend your time.
Spend your time.
Like you could write a play. And maybe Susan Sarandon's ex-husband reads the script.
Was that Tim Robbins? I call him Tim.
Oh, fuck.
He's Tim. He's Tim to me.
Timmy.
He has this young girlfriend right now.
Oh, you mean the super famous Hollywood actor?
Yeah, he has this young little girl.
Get out of here!
I don't know what country she's from, but she's this pretty young thing. Hopefully, Tim, you never hear this. But she's like 27, 28. She's gorgeous.
Tim, I hope to God.
Tim Robbins, by the way, for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you write this play.
So let me tell you how I got to write this play. So with
Hold
Gambit,
on, real quick.
My bad.
So Raul has written a play.
I wrote a play.
He wrote a play that was produced
by Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. And there was a production, and there will be future productions.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the past productions happened in Los Angeles at
Culver City, California.
Culver City, okay.
Which is in Los Angeles is such a crazy place. It's like a string of islands. But Culver City in California at Tim Robbins, he has a theater house out there. It's called
okay.
The Actors Gang.
Okay.
They have a lot of great plays out there. It's super cool joint. And so they ended up producing the play.
Which you wrote. Now let's shift back up. So
yeah.
You sit down one day and you're like, oh, I'm going to write a play.
No, not at all. Not at all, man. Because I'm a very lazy person. Like, I'm an artist. And I say lazy, but I'll backpedal to say I can only write when I'm inspired.
Sure.
Truly inspired.
Absolutely.
You know? And that could be a form of laziness, but that can be a form of just genuine. I need to be genuine with my writing, is what I'm saying.
I can't think of
genuity?
Genuousness.
I don't think any of those are right, but anyway, we understand.
I think
about
ingenuity, whatever the fuck, whatever. And so, Diane Luby Lane, who's...
Generous?
Generous? No way. But genuine?
Oh my God.
No, genuine.
There are people listening to this right now like, shut the fuck
Who cares?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have these problems.
You're all idiots.
No way, man.
Okay, so...
So Diane Luby Lane is executive director of Get Lit Worse Can I. I've known her since I was 16. She's a beautiful human being. So she comes up to me with this idea, hey, I have this idea for Dante. So Get Lit, what essentially Get Lit does is we go to schools and we give them classic poetry. And classic poetry could be Walt Whitman, Robert Frost, Charles Bukowski, to Tupac, Kendrick
you
Lamar.
You read Charles Bukowski?
Yeah. Some poems. Some poems. They're not all of his poems.
Didn't
and
you
now,
show the video on YouTube of him? Oh my God.
Just be all fucked up. All
right, anyway. Okay, so you guys introduce children to...
Yes,
classic poetry.
Mostly high schoolers to classic poetry. They memorize a classic poem, they recite it, they commit it to memory and recite it, and they write their own response to it. Whatever the response is, and it doesn't have to be like a book report, like, oh, what I got from this. It's just like, if it made you think of your grandma, write about your grandma, whatever it is. And so they perform the classic, and then right after that, they perform their response. Classic and response. That's the whole format of Get Lit.
Which there's a YouTube video of you doing one, right?
There's a couple of them out there, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen them, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this and you're kind of curious about it, you can punch Raul Herrera into YouTube and some shit pops up. And you read some poems. But anyway.
Yeah, so she comes up to me, Dante's Inferno. What the fuck is that?
Right.
I don't know. I told you I don't read. I hate school. I hate words. I don't, man. I didn't grow up formal like that. Like, I grew up not wanting to, like, learn anything. Like, that wasn't, like... conducive
school. But, school can do that to people, man.
Yeah, man. I was super like unattracted to school. Like, it was, I was put off by school,
sure,
in education. But anyways, she
same
told
way,
me
dude, I just, a classroom was like, freaked me out.
Yeah, take
you know
me outside,
mean?
Listen, talk to me, talk
yeah,
to me like a
yeah
human
I
being.
Have to sit here and listen to you for 8 hours
about your problems, and like there's like they're like insecurities seep out while they're like speaking. It's disgusting.
You know what, I was just thinking about this the other day.
Talk to me.
I had a third grade teacher that was a germaphobe, and this is in the 90s. No hand sanitizer in the 90s, just fucking soap and water, baby.
Hot water. Yeah.
And I remember she would be like, I don't want you to touch anything on my desk. I don't want to cover your face when you sneeze, you cough, anything. And she was on people, and I was like, I don't even think I gave half a shit about germs until then. And then I was just like, if I don't cover my face when I sneeze, I will die, and the three people around me will too. Like, it was so ingrained. Like, I remember bitching out a kid. He had like reached for the stapler or something on her desk, and she was like, hey, I don't want your germs. And I was like, oh. Okay.
Anyway. That's what I'm saying, man.
Like,
so many insecurities. Like, and you see this with, like, and we're apolitical, but, like, politics, people who are teachers, anything like that.
They'll inject. It's just part of your personality. It's
but
part of your
about
ego that you're going to inject into
people
your
who are.
I just remember, I was just thinking about this, like, it was either today or yesterday, but just how I used to, like, copy people's paper. I would just, like, well, I'd ask them, you know? I just, like, never care. Especially once I get to high school, I'm like, I know what I want to do, or have an idea of what I want to do.
Right.
So just let me learn what I want to learn, and then the rest of it's just kind of fluff. It's just pointless to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
so
it is.
And it really is. Like, and that's the thing is, like, and not to get off a tangent, but, like, once...
We're deep in tangents now.
Once my kids get older, I really, really think it's important that they go get jobs and go, like, kind of, like, live... like, pay their own rent and pay their own bills and shit before they even decide what they want to do for going to college. Because really, when it comes down to it, I probably didn't really feel super comfortable in what I wanted to do until I was in my, like, mid-20s.
Yeah.
And how could you? You're not even a fully formed human
being. For sure.
Being.
So,
you know what I mean?
Those types of things where, like...
especially when you're of any kind of artistic vein,
mm.
you know, which I feel like is kind of what we're talking about here tonight.
Yeah.
But, like, it can be really tricky to capitalize on that. But that's what you did, because you wrote a play.
I did.
We've been trying to get to this.
I'm just coming back to it.
But
so you went, okay. All right, so you sit down. Now, just to kind of describe, I'll open it for you.
Oh, I appreciate
Come
you.
On.
Look at this.
Come
5-star
Come on.
Treatment
so
of artists.
You're I haven't seen your play.
Most people.
But you've, to my understanding, the way you've described it, the way you've talked about it, is it's kind of like, okay, it's a take on Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
So there's chapters that involve levels of hell.
Yes, sir.
And it is, there's hip-hop involved as far as the script is concerned.
Yeah.
Is it fully musical? Like,
no, not
just
fully
tell
musical.
Us about the play, man.
So the way I went about it, I didn't know how to go about it. What I wanted to do with Dante's Inferno was to have it be paralleled with the evolution of hip-hop. You know, with the golden age of hip-hop. Well, starting from, like, that Tribe Called Quest, but Afrika Bambaataa and, like, kind of, like, Tronica hip-hop.
KRS-One.
Yeah, exactly. Going to the golden age, going to, like, mumble rap. Well, I know I'm missing the whole 2000s, but, like, kind of that, the evolution.
Nothing happened in the 2000s.
Exactly, right? And so I was going
to Nothing happened.
Lil Wayne.
No, a lot of things happened.
That's true. But what
yeah,
else?
Lil Wayne's been around since
You have
50
Cent, you have Chingy, you have...
Chingy,
But it's hip-hop nonetheless, and we can't
okay,
take all right, that
fair
from
enough,
the culture.
Fair enough,
So when I went about it, when I went about it was someone Diane Lubelane, the executive director, she came up to me with the idea. She, like, we read the book together, and she would give me a synopsis of, like, the main themes, and I would just translate it.
So you read Dante's Inferno together?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
And so, like, she would get the main themes, and I would just translate it to, like, modern-day society. She's like, okay, there's this guy named Farinata, and he comes up from a grave, and he's talking to Dante about his son who Dante killed, kind of thing, whatever. And then I would just translate it to, like, oh, yeah, Biggie and Tupac kind of thing. That's how I would translate it in my head. And so the play is not 100% musical, but there's, like, hip-hop elements. There's, like, a scene where there's a judge and there's this kid saying that, like, he killed this guy by accident, but there's, like, all this, like, these little stories in there, and a lot of the stories that are, like, spoken, they're spoken in hip-hop form.
Okay.
And the whole premise of the story is Dante being this inner-city kid, being stuck in a jail. Would you believe me if I told you I visited hell? But who am I but just a criminal stuck in a cell, right? Can't even spell right, can't even tell right from wrong. That the whole play starts like that. He's in a jail, and he lost his girl Beatrice, who's the main
character
in Dante. Yeah. And Beatrice means the light in translation. And so he's searching for the light this whole play.
Mm-hmm.
And so he lost her, and, like, in the story, like, he lost her through, like, this, like, miscommunication, like, shots were fired, you know, this typical whatever the fuck. And at the end of the play, so the two main guys, I love these guys, shout out to Walter and Kylan. Walter and Kylan, two dudes from South LA, and they told me, and I'm sorry for telling this online, but I did a poem, I did a poem at their high school, and they joined Get Lit after that, and they told me...
Oh, these are kids
these
you
kids.
Worked with.
Now they're, like, they're 2 years younger than me, but they told me, I probably shouldn't tell the story. But whatever, they joined Get Lit, but they weren't in good places in their lives before. And after seeing a couple of poems of mine, they joined Get Lit, and they ended up being the main characters in Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
And they just came out with they were consultants to this on this Netflix show that's, like, killing it right now. It's called On My Block. And
I saw it. It's, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
So those
I haven't watched it, but, like...
Those stories are based on their lives.
No,
they're consultants
shit.
On the shows, and they're the main guys on Dante's Inferno.
They should probably write you into an episode.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Give back to the community.
Yeah.
But it was so Kylan plays Dante, and Walter plays Virgil, who's Dante's shepherd guy,
yeah.
All that stuff. And their relationship they're brothers in real life, you know, like, not in real life, but, like, they're brothers, like, you know, they hold each other to, like, they're really close. And so at the end of the play, you have Kylan make it out, and this is all metaphorical, but one makes it, another one doesn't, because Virgil, like, can't ascend because of his, just his problems with God, whatever the technical stuff is, I'm not going to go into it.
Right.
But Kylan makes it, and then Walter does it, and Walter finishes with this beautiful monologue that yours truly wrote. And the first line of the monologue is, "Greatness is weakness fully realized." That's so crazy. That goes into what we were saying.
That's exactly what we were talking about.
Greatness is weakness fully realized. And he goes into this, you know, like, if we're not going to make it, if we don't make it, then who will, you know? And so it's just a beautiful metaphor for, like, where we come from not humble beginnings, from all that stuff. So... Dante's Inferno is about all that stuff, man. And it really took off. People loved it. There was nights where people didn't like it because the majority of the cast were all people from Get Lit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not trained actors, man. We're just kids from...
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, the ghetto. We did spoken word. We performed. We did ciphers. And then we were thrown into a play. So we don't know how to fucking act.
Do you think they went in there with those expectations because Tim's name was on it? So they're like, oh, this is going to be some fire shit.
Yeah, his name brings a lot of allure to it, for sure.
Or maybe they thought you guys were hotshot LA actors. Like,
we weren't.
I am not from Los Angeles. I've never seen a play in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't really hear much about, like, LA theater scene. To be fair, you don't really hear much outside of New York as far as theater is concerned.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, touring companies,
yeah.
Fucking Wicked, and
yeah.
and all the, you know, the big.
And there is a market out there. I don't think it's publicized, but, like, I think LA is so known for, like, microcosms and pockets of, like, of like art, you know, like there's like a crazy underground art scene, and there's a crazy, it's just really bougie, but like underground bougie, you know. And same thing, it's the same thing with the plays. Like Tim Robbins has a plays, you're gonna playhouse, you're gonna watch plays there, you know.
Right.
But none of us were experienced, man. And
sure.
I think nowadays people are so expecting someone to be born with all the gifts, you know.
Right.
You're just waiting for the next Jimi Hendrix, or you're waiting for the next like crazy artist. But like,
it's, well, they want to be floored, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean? Like
you
people
know?
That people. I, my mom was an actress and stuff, and I grew up doing plays.
He's the enemy. He's the enemy.
Humble
brag. Yeah,
totally. Well, I just grew up around that stuff.
Yeah, for
you know?
Sure.
And like. And it's people, I feel like audience members, people that commit to a play, it's not like going to the movies.
It's not, man.
You know,
it's
doing it multiple times a night. And like,
or being a member to like a community playhouse and just like, you are there. Like, there's a lot of people out there like that. There is. And it's weird. It's just a different kind of thing. Like, maybe that expectation is a little, that's why I ask about it, is a little offset, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, baby boomers that are used to going to plays where people, you know, like, are community players and they just fucking live for it.
Yeah.
Like, and they're in Los Angeles, so they're trying to be seen by anybody, so it's like a cast of people just, like, going
trying
for it.
Movie.
So then they see these kids just, like, doing their spoken word, which was probably...
essentially what it was, though. Like,
it was, yeah, but it was probably way looser. It, just what I'm envisioning, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, as stiff.
But also more sincere. And like,
that's what I...
Yeah,
like a performance.
Yeah.
Kind of, man. But, like, fame would do that to people. And, like, I'm not going to name out anyone specific, but, like... If you get inner city kids, and you get kids who didn't grow up with microwaves, or you didn't grow up with towels, or you didn't grow up with this or that, and then you have them all of a sudden part of this play, getting all this money, doing all these things, and have a chance to be famous, you're gonna have, and without the proper guidance, I think you're gonna have a lot of kids being like, oh, I'm the hot shit, like I'm gonna like go up on stage and just be all for myself. And that's what happened to some of the people up there.
Okay.
And because there's no proper guidance. And I think that's why you have a lot of people from humble beginnings who get into fame really quick, fall into drugs, and fall into these crazy...
Arrogance.
Because you have no one else to tell them otherwise. You know, because
think
about this. If you grew up not having something you wanted, and then you had you had an abundance of that, you're not gonna really know how to manage it, whether you like appreciate it or not. Like, you're still not taught the proper skills to manage wealth or to manage fame or to manage ego, you know. And that's what happened,
dude,
you know?
How do people, okay, this is so interesting to me, like child actors or even like child musicians, you know, like how the fuck could any human being come out of that okay?
Impossible.
Impossible. When you
especially
were,
when you talk like Macaulay Culkin, like people that are like
Culkin, Macaulay Culkin.
But like when you're like fucking like 4 or 5,
yeah, the
world. Like Rilo's 6, and just thinking like where her mind is at, to like be like being someone else in a movie like 2 years younger than that, like at 4, like that's insane to me. And then to like grow up your entire childhood like in that limelight, like that's insane, like.
Oh man,
I
don't have
like,
room to breathe and room to develop.
Well,
yeah.
But then your parents are controlling the money, and they're like, all you know. I don't.
And
know.
Isn't that always the story though? You know, like
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
times in the '80s and stuff, like all these guys and gals that got older, it was just like oh man.
I've been listening
story.
To like Macaulay Culkin's like podcast and like
yeah.
his interviews on WTF and stuff like that, but like it's pretty insane. Like his relationship with his dad, like
oh, it was terrible.
But he wasn't even supposed to like get. They were taking his older brother, and then, like, he got the job.
Yeah.
And, like, it just fucking spawned into what it was, but his dad was, like, yeah,
and he
taking
was hanging
the money.
Out with Michael Jackson.
Dude, Michael Jackson, I don't care.
Who is the archetype of a damaged child
for sure.
star?
For sure.
That is...
I thought you were getting this fucked up shit. I don't think he touched the kids.
I don't think so either.
I'm team Michael.
I'm team Michael 200%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because think about it. You grow up, like, not having that, like... the child that fostered in you.
Yeah.
Like, if... Think about this. Like, in my head, I'm like, when I grow up, like, I want to, like, provide safe spaces for, like, people who are like me, Latinos or whatever the fuck, right? And so I'm going to, like, have these spaces. People could easily be like, oh, so he just likes Latino kids. Or, you know, so, like,
but
I think you would do the
it's
same
just like,
thing.
Dude, they're like, oh, I could make $1 million off of saying, like, he did this shit. Like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know
it's
what I mean? They're
up.
Just trying to make money off of
Here's
I
my
mean,
thing. I take the Dave Chappelle stance.
Was this sense?
This is an old Chappelle Show sketch. He's on trial. And, Mr. Chappelle, do you feel Michael Jackson such and such? And he goes, no, absolutely not. Well, would you drop your kids off there next week? And he's like, absolutely not. Like, I'm just taking that stance. Like,
dude, Macaulay's, like, the godfather of, like, his...
Of his daughter.
Shit. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Michael's a good dude.
I think Michael had some fucked up shit.
For sure. He was abused.
And,
like...
Yeah, he definitely
like,
abused.
Literally was, like... Yeah,
definitely
like,
abused.
Was, like,
dude.
Know, I don't know.
It's
Michael
crazy.
Left.
You know what? My mom loves to tell this story. So, when she was pregnant with me in, like, 1984...
She dropped you off.
She tried to give me away. No,
yeah.
She saw... Thriller was out.
Yeah.
And just fucking blasting on the airwaves, and like MTV was new, and like that video played every 5 minutes. Da 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 da. And she looked at a Michael Jackson Thriller poster and she was like, God, thank God that by the time my son is able to buy his own music, this won't be what it is.
Hmm.
Michael Jackson Thriller was the first tape I ever bought, or I got as a gift. Next to the Beatles' greatest hit. It was like the Red Album of the Beatles. Yeah,
he,
one of the first.
Like,
well, what she
Black
mean by
and
that?
White was like a kill.
Because it was pop music. It was just fucking
or
saturating everywhere. No, she liked it, but like it was like, you know, it was everywhere. You know what I mean? Like it was just fucking like, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was everything. He was everywhere. He was beautiful. He was doing the moonwalk.
Yeah.
Fucking sprinkling stars and shit.
Shit.
Yeah,
what was the album that Black and White was on? That was like fucking 94.
That
shit.
Was dangerous.
Dangerous, yeah.
That was,
and that was massive too. That was probably not as big as Thriller, but
no, because that was after some shit started going down. But he, that was this. He did a song, Jam, with Michael Jordan in the music video.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Was it Macaulay in that shit?
I think he might have been in that
dude.
Video too.
Macaulay, dude.
Look at Raul.
Poor Macaulay.
It's like he's sitting on the. Porch with his two older uncles talking
yeah,
about music
like
videos.
No, I remember when Michael Jackson.
I
saw 13. I
just love that he's
Team
Michael, dude. I don't think he did any of that shit. I think he was so rich and so like naive and like just mentally like just wasn't fucking adult.
I just don't think that I would probably let my my kids or relatives sleep in anybody's bed. But
that's true.
But
no,
mine, you know, I think
bad.
That's a little strange, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, why do we
potato,
start talking
potato,
about this?
You know,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, God.
It was,
yeah.
Pedophile. It's,
oh.
It's all the same thing.
Oh.
We're not thinking it.
Oh, I, Jesus Christ.
So I wrote this play, and there was, you know, but it was a great experience, man. I don't know. Just for anyone out there, for anyone, like, there's no right pathway to it all, man, is what I'm saying. Like, I never took a screenwriting class. I never took, like, a formal, like, know how to write a play or know how to write a structured poem class, you know? I just always spoke from the heart. That's always where I've been, 100%. Just, like, speak what's real to you. And
well,
that whole play is...
What are some of your influences, man? Like...
I grew up in... So I grew up listening to Sublime and Nirvana, and that was, like, 7th grade. I got into 8th grade. Got into Atmosphere from
okay.
Minnesota.
Okay.
Underground
yeah.
hip-hop artist.
Uh-huh. Atmosphere
one of
the biggest in Omaha a lot.
Yeah.
One of my biggest.
Have you ever been to this festival? It's in Minnesota. He does it every year.
What is it called?
I don't remember. What, it's like pretty huge though, and like.
It's not Slamfest, right?
No, I don't think so. Look it up, but yeah. You
all right,
check
I've
out.
Seen him
but
twice in my life, but I'll tell you this: like he, one of my biggest influences in my life for sure is Slug from Atmosphere, Sage Francis. Most people from Rhymesayers Entertainment, like those are my dudes. And so I grew up listening to underground hip-hop, Immortal Technique, like,
oh.
So I listened to Immortal Technique, Death of the Devil, while playing Halo 2, just like, just all day, that was my thing, you know, and they taught me, like, how to say stories over, like, hip-hop tracks, you know, and so Dante, a lot of the scenes, I was listening to instrumentals while I was writing to
mm-hmm.
it, and I had this guy, I won't say any more names, so I had this, This is a screenwriter, he's not from Los Angeles, but he lives in Los Angeles right now. And he was kind of mentoring me through, like, how to write a play. Hey, this is an outline. Hey, this is a header. This is this, right? And me and him, I would shoot ideas to him, and he would, like, refine them and bring them back to me, and I would then translate them to... And so for...
True
I wrote
mentor,
Dante...
man. That's awesome.
Seriously, he's an amazing human being. I love that guy. Can't wait to see him again when I move back. But I wrote the first draft of Dante, 50 pages. I wrote it in a week. I was fucking... It was a lot. Because we were like, hey, Ron, we need to get this done. Okay. Boom. When I'm into something, I'm into something.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the second draft of Dante, which was 10 more pages. But it was, like, so much better than the first draft. I wrote that in 2 weeks with the dude. And we were going to, like, these famous L.A. Coffee shops where famous writers go to. And I was just there, just a little Latino kid with a baggy shorts, muscle shirt, my hair tied up in a bun. I had longer hair back then. And it was so cool. And so one of my biggest inspirations to, like, get famous is to when I, or to, like, be successful, is when I get to that point, is when I meet all those people who are fucking posh, like, all that shit. It's just check them.
Yeah.
You know, like, who cares? I don't care about your theme or your climax, whatever. Like, speak to me as a human being. Like,
yeah.
what are you doing right now? Because I've seen that a lot. And, like, growing up and being in the entertainment industry, I've seen a lot of people look down on other people for not having art forms that are similar to theirs, or they're not similar to the status quo. And I've never been I've never been of normal breed. You know, like, it's I was always unconventional.
Yeah.
And so I just can't wait to check people, because I think that art in general needs to have, like, a revolution. I think the world needs a revolution.
Well, it's interesting. You said the words status quo, and I think that status quo works its way into art scenes all the time.
Oh, for sure.
I think it happens in the smallest art scene, the biggest art scene. When I say art, I mean, like, anything.
Any
like
art, fashion,
it, yeah,
painting.
You're the new guy. You don't know people. We don't know you. You know. It's maybe even not like that. Like, you're not wearing a tweed jacket. There's a uniform involved.
There's in-group and there's out-group.
Yeah,
bro.
Like, yeah, like
norms.
You said, you showed up in, like, baggy
thing.
Shorts and a muscle shirt, and they were just like, oh, you know, like...
Seriously, man. I had this little laptop. I didn't have a Mac.
To discuss his play.
Exactly.
You
know? And I had this little... I didn't have a... I didn't have an Apple fucking... I had this little... It was my little brother's laptop. I didn't have a laptop at the time. So I was just like...
Talking to your little brother, like, taking your laptop.
Yeah, like, I'm a big saver. He's like, no, I don't watch YouTube. Whatever. But that is so true. And, like, I think trends... I had a discussion last week about this, too. Like, trends start from somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, mainstream... You think about the word mainstream, right? You think about Big River. But big rivers, like, start from, like, little streams at a point. And, like, so someone starts something, and then everyone's like, ooh, I like that way. I'm going to start going that way. And then everyone flocks that way. And so it becomes everything, and then everyone's in there, you know? So trends are started from originality, but trends kill originality after, like, a certain time, you know? So just for any artist out there, man, just, like, do – everyone has a superpower, man. Whether your superpower is bringing out the best in people, your superpower is, like, making people feel comfortable or creating a safe space, that's your superpower. Do that thing, and you'll find your way. You'll find your position out there. Because people, the world needs, like, originality right now. It needs, like, people to just do their jobs, you know?
And to be comfortable, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I look around, and people are just so uncomfortable with themselves.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. And
yeah, like, everybody's hiding around behind their phone. You know, I see so much uncomfortability in human
the
beings.
The phone
right
thing
now.
Is such a big thing. And I'm like,
bad.
And I'm like, I'm way younger than you guys. Way younger. You know what I'm
Shut
saying? But, like...
No, you are. You're 10 years younger than us. I mean, that's a generation, man.
And but, like...
That's a generation,
I don't like using... I hate using my phone. People are like,
yeah,
how come
you
never Snapchat... How come you don't Snapchat me? How come you don't do this? It's because, like, I'd rather be in the moment. What are you doing right now?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's such a disconnect when I see someone, like, on the phone, like, in front of me. Like, am I not good enough? Am I not entertaining you? It's because
no,
people are finding the cheap thrills. And, like, it's a great excuse to go away from this, you know?
Yeah.
To go away from, like, the
action. And you just want
to,
like, slap it down and be like, what are you really doing right now?
And then you're an asshole.
Are you reading an obituary?
Yeah.
No? Put it in your fucking pocket. See, that's one thing, like, going back to class, going back to school, back to class, and, be, you know, I am 10 years older than most of the people in there, you know? And seeing, like, being in a class, and this makes me sound like an old cranky bastard.
You are.
I am. But, like, somebody's given, like, a really engaging lecture, and yeah, you don't want to fucking be there. This is part of the dance that we do to get this thing, you know? And you're just, they're, like, engaging you and making eye contact, especially in the school of communication.
You know, I know,
like,
exactly
people,
what you're talking about.
Yeah, people, they're in your face. Like, it's not the school of engineering where they're like, X moves behind the parentheses. No. It's engagement, it's dynamic, whatever. And then there's, like, three people that are just blatantly, like, I don't give a fuck what you're saying. I got my phone.
Yeah.
And, like, you know... You see, it's just like, you're not doing anything important. What, are you writing a paper? Working on your thesis?
Yeah. No, homegirl at some class that I may or may not had with you last week. Some girl was fucking doing a speech, and the girl, like, yawned, and she was on her phone. And I looked at her.
I heard that.
And I looked at her, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was loud. It was an audible yawn. There's somebody at the front of the class giving a goddamn presentation.
And she's the most shyest fucking girl in the world,
yeah,
bro.
And
like,
she just
talks.
Oh.
And fucking homegirl in the back fucking yawns. And I looked at her. I was like, what are you doing right now?
Listen to these class stories on Omaha Talks right now.
Seriously, man.
It's real, though. It's weird.
Yeah. We're pushing an hour, and I have something that, like, I feel like it's...
Yeah.
Totally present in this conversation, though, but, like, what are your guys' thoughts on just, I don't know, like, being put on the earth for this reason? I don't know, is maybe too far.
No,
like
destiny?
But, like, the fact that it just comes to him, same thing with, like, design or the visual, it's just something I've literally, since I was, like, 2, I was drawing and creating things. I mean... What are your guys' thoughts
on, like... Can I speak
on
that first?
Absolutely.
Like, literally something that, like...
Absolutely.
That's what you're put on this world for.
There's this speaker, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. She had this TED Talk, and she talks about muses, right? And how the reason why, like, artists are having trouble, like, making new art nowadays... Like, say if you wrote this fucking groundbreaking play today, and to write another one would be so hard for you, is because of the ego. And... artists back then would always give their respect and their, I guess, their bibliography would always be ascribed to, like, a higher being. Like, I wrote this, but it's because someone else told me to write it. It was from a higher power.
Sure.
And, like, having that not... That gives you a lot less responsibility of, like, writing something. Because then if you're like, oh, no, I wrote this all by myself, then you have to write a whole new play... by yourself. So, like, the muse, right? Like, where does this come from? Where does this art come from? I think Alan Watts says, like, there's a God.
Ooh, Alan Watts.
There's a God in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there is a God, then there's a God in you. And to believe in that God and to, like, pray in that God means to pray in yourself. And I will tell you, the biggest fan of my life is me. For better or for worse, man. For better or for worse. I hate myself and I love myself. I am who I am. And I don't say that to, like, be arrogant, but I do say that to be like, hey,
I think
this is who you are.
That's something that, like, and I came to that realization in my mid-20s, and you've obviously, like, hit that, and I think you're at that same point, too. I think a lot of people go their entire lives, literally their entire, like, till they're dead.
Till they die, yeah.
Not realizing... that, like, I think that is so important, is, like,
we're even consciously ignoring it. And
at the
stuffing
end of the
it
day
down.
You when you put your head down on that pillow and you go to sleep,
it's
the only
you.
Person responsible for whatever came out in your life is you.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's just a wild, it's such a simple concept, but yet
people miss
everyone it. A majority of people, like, don't understand that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. And same thing with, like, what we're doing, like, it's just, we're just being us. We're just doing what we like to do. And because we like it and because we're passionate about it and because
yeah.
we enjoy it, it turns out to be, you know, great stuff where,
yeah.
you know, people, like, try to force it or learn it or go to school
or
to be
commercialized.
Fuck all that,
it
bro.
Into
our,
you know,
you can't
to,
teach me
yeah.
what I already know,
yeah.
you know?
And maybe refine it. Like,
yeah,
maybe you're
I
in school to, like,
that.
Refine it and, like, you know.
Give me the proper words for
sure.
it. But I already know who I am.
But,
know?
Yeah. And
yeah,
so it's just, like, it's an interesting thing.
I think,
sure.
you know, the whole deal with, I mean, I can most specifically speak to music, but, like, it definitely is something where it's like, you know, I think certain people could, I'm going to set aside in between 3 and 5 p.m. today, and I'm going to work on some stuff, you know, and that was just never me. You know, it just, it wasn't. It was, if you didn't feel like doing it, I mean, same with writing. Like, writing is hard. Writing is hard.
It's a bitch. Yeah.
It's a bitch.
Yeah.
It feels good, and then you get into it.
And you're like,
and
ah.
That thing, you get in that right mood, you come home, you know.
That's all subjective, though.
It
what
is,
you think
it,
is
it
good,
is,
and he might think it's good.
But I'm
but
that's what
but
I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Like, as far as, like, inspiration, it's like that perfect combination of, like, alchemical forces,
yeah.
you know, and, like, it, whether you had a super good day or a terrible day. Terrible days produce great art.
Yeah.
The blues came from terrible days.
Yeah.
I would like to think a lot of music came from terrible days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's now we're making a fucking figure eight here, because I feel like going back to success, you know, and people making it to a level that goat that eats all the food on the way up to the mountain.
He's good.
This is an analogy that we spoke about off air. Raul, you're all about analogies.
I live in metaphors.
Yeah. Okay, so, but, like, you accomplish everything. You're the Jeff Bezos. You've done it all. It's like, I would find that it would be hard to produce art at a point where you were just like, well, fuck, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I press a button and this gets distributed and it's successful and it makes everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a weird
deal. It's so deep and we can go into, but what is success? You know, it means so much to, like, different people.
Yeah.
Because I think about it, it's like, we all want to, like, be financially stable and, like, be rich or, like,
yeah.
have money, because that allows us to have a house and provide for our family and our friends.
Look
and all
at your
things.
House. Look at you.
But all this
bro.
Stuff, but it's just like, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like,
comfortability.
One thing about this, fame and money is like a standard for, like, success.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Thinking
for
about
sure,
that.
Sure.
That's,
in America,
that's someone, for someone, like say your standard for success is different than mine.
Sure.
For someone's standard, it was money and it was fame. And that got widely distributed to the rest of American culture.
Yeah.
And we're all suffering or succeeding because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so hard. That's why when you're not successful in the educational system, you feel like you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't know how to play this game, but playing at this game, I'll fucking beat you every day.
Totally.
You know? It's that same thing.
And when you bring up, like, the Jeff Bezos thing, it's just because he literally is the richest man, like, in the world. Or maybe it's just the United States.
Money becomes irrelevant.
But
that's
what the thing is.
Like, you
know,
you're just...
What, where do you go from there? There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else to go.
So
and the guy,
like,
works, like, 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Well,
it kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to go when your success goal is money. If
yeah,
your
sure.
goal was to give people who are not fortunate enough to, like... provide for themselves,
right?
Then his job's not over. Still.
Exactly. Don't you think
that's
like,
where it is?
You can get rid of poverty and, like, and
right
still
now,
have
if
a
that's
shit
what
he
was goal, if that's
yes.
what his goal was,
he'd be like,
fuck,
"I'm Jeff
dude.
Bezos. I'm the fucking god of the earth.
I
bought build
Whole
a
Foods.
Bunch of houses.
I bought Whole Foods.
I bought it. Yeah, and
I bought Whole
everyone.
Foods.
I bought a whole.
We're taking $2 off
whole
everything.
Bunch of foods.
You
I bought
buy,
a whole.
You can
bunch
buy Kindles and Echoes there now. So,
that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. Though, if that's what your goal was, you can finish it. But people's goals are superficial.
Yeah.
So there's no deepness or depth to it. Fix poverty. That'll take a lifetime to do it, man. Lifetime to do it.
Or you just write a check and hire a team to do it for you.
Yeah, that's exactly
because
what you
you're
did.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
That's another headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or write a play. Or write a play.
And he's going to be like, ugh, these fucking nonprofits. No, he's not doing that. Do you think, like, okay, Warren Buffett lives, like, not far
yeah.
from my place at all. You know, I used to walk around, like, in my neighborhood. Oh, I'm walking home.
Another
and then you walk
guy.
By one of the
he's
richest
fucking...
guys in the world. It kind of upsets me. I'm like, you should buy an island, pay for the technology for it to float, and that's where you should live. Not over here.
You can't be mad. Nah, you can't be mad at him.
It kind of upsets
people.
Me.
They're still from this earth.
No, Raul, just let me be mad. Just turn it off for a second.
Turn that madness into
Warren Buffett, if you're listening to
your success.
They
okay?
should be dressing you with Italian silk from head to toe every day. No, it's
how ugly is that though? I wouldn't be comfortable with that, man. Like for people serving me, I've had to serve people. Hey, Lakota, call me back, man. It's why I don't go to strip clubs. I'm telling you.
Oh my god!
I just hear so many people that are rich are able to like take care of poverty.
Right.
I mean, if you're at that point, I mean, just
well, Drake did that recently. Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking to
God's plan.
Yeah, dude. God's plan, dude. I fucking love Drake. He fucking hates Drake.
I don't
hate Drake
him.
Fan.
No, I'm just not.
He has given it a chance. He hasn't given it a chance.
I'm a big, and like, this is me, like, this is a Latino talking about a culture that was like spawned from African American struggle in the US, so, specifically to the East Coast in the Mid East. Is like, if you're, like, same reason why I have problems with Donald Glover. Like, if you're not from a certain struggle,
mm-hmm.
then you can't speak on it. Then you're just, same thing with Macklemore. Eminem, I'll give him credit, because, like, he's not from,
he dealt with some shit. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying,
sure.
though. Like, so, like, if you're, like, Drake, when you were fucking acting, Nicki Minaj was doing acting auditions before she became Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
That's a fake, and, like, and the reason why, like, that's fucked up to me is because you have kids who are, like, from those beginnings that you pretend that you're from,
yeah.
who are looking for you for guidance, but they don't have the same resources. They don't have an agent. They don't have a fucking person to be like, hey, if you just turn your rap into a fucking play, you can fucking do things with it. Like, there's no people like that for them. So it's just this false role model, false idols, right, to look forward to. Drake, same thing, half Jewish, half black. No problem, not anti-Semitic. But it's he had doors open for him.
He was on TV shows.
Yeah, the Silver Spoon.
Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
but his raps are fire.
And they are. No, they are.
No, he is really.
He
good.
Understands
he
the form. He understands the form. He understands the form, and I totally appreciate that. If he just gave one statement acknowledging that and doing more shit for the community that he like benefits most from,
for sure,
I'm all about it. I'm
in
all
Canada?
About it. And like in that
Toronto?
that goes like, but Toronto, I'm sure
I'm
Toronto
sorry,
has
Brandon,
their own things.
I don't care.
Are you from Toronto?
No, I just love. I just like Drake.
He looks
yeah.
like he's from Toronto. I'm just kidding.
I love Drake. I love Kanye.
I love Kanye too.
Post Malone. I don't know all that shit. Everyone hates it.
I like.
But whatever.
Post Malone's two songs. I don't like.
That's for entertainment. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna go that deep into it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I totally agree. I'm all about that. A simple acknowledgement and like talk using that the platform that got you on stage
for sure.
to use it as a platform to talk about other issues is all I would want.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I want. Music's music. You know what I mean? We can that music is so subjective. Like I get it. Totally get it.
The Donald Glover thing is so weird.
How you can be a comedian and actor and then be a fucking rapper and
yeah.
then get a, like fucking
it talks about
actors,
killing other rappers
and then talk about
it's like
it's
no,
so basic and his
community.
Style is not original at all. His style is not original at all.
And Atlanta is like the biggest show in the
biggest show and like congratulations to him.
He's on Solo, the Star Wars movie.
He's Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this.
Lando Calrissian.
Fuck Star Wars.
Yeah, that's
I
a big
love
thing.
Star Wars.
He hates Star Wars.
Actually, I just don't.
No, he hates it.
Yeah.
The
mad.
New ones or the old ones? Or like
anything.
The whole series.
I just
anything.
Don't.
Oh, give it a chance.
I just think people like suck it too much. They just fucking love it.
Well, it's like Avatar, bro. Like, I watched Avatar and I was like, I wish I lived in a world like that.
Everyone's just sucking on that Star Wars tea, and I just don't.
It's
just
a big tea, bro.
It is a big tea. But I
plentiful
tea. I just don't.
There's like
it.
Six of them now.
It's bountiful
yeah,
teats.
I just don't get it.
Bountiful teats.
Bountiful teats.
Well, gentlemen, we talked about in a rate. This has been a hurricane of a podcast.
That's,
yeah.
what,
that's what happens when you bring a young Latin gentleman.
That's me.
Fucking whipping
with
it
the
up.
Sinus effect. Sinus infection.
Eating fucking Slim Jims and.
Eating Slim Jims.
He actually got the. And not to like, you know. Call him out or anything.
Call
but
me
everything
out.
That, it, like everything you would, like a convenience store, Jolly Ranchers, Slim Jims, and Coors, like, you guys got, like, the and sunflower seeds. Like, literally,
yes.
Like, the quintessentials of a
this is like Clerks.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's like, go in there and give me some Jolly Ranchers and a couple Slim Jims.
She was a pretty young thing, too, man.
A bag of sunflowers.
She was a pretty young thing.
So we're at the gas station when we're coming over here. Let's close with this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. And,
this guy walks
long in. Ass line. So, guy walks in. So a guy walks in to make a saver, and he's just like, "Fuck, damn!" And Raul turns around, engages with the public, and he's just like, "You all right? You all right, man?" And I was like, "Oh, Raul, don't encourage him, but you love that shit." And he was just like, "It's a long ass line." Like,
yeah. Everyone is.
Touché.
Everyone was like, yeah.
True.
Man, because I'm telling you, man, there's like, and I don't talk to people to like fucking give attention to anything. It's just like, there's people out there like asking for things, man. There's people out there who like just want acknowledgement. And so whenever I'm in a public setting and when I see stuff like that, like just like, and everyone's thinking it too. Everyone's wishing like, everyone's thinking at the same time, oh, this is making me really uncomfortable. Everyone's seeing that.
Yeah.
Everyone's thinking that. No one's
standing
and that makes no sense.
The fluorescent lights of a gas station standing
yeah.
There's like 10 people in line.
And
you don't have a car, so you're paying cash. You know, it's just all this shit.
And that doesn't make sense to me. So like, and I look at him and like, he is what he is, whatever the fuck.
Leaning up on the ice cream counter, he's just like, bah!
He was fucking disgruntled. So when you have someone in a store being disgruntled in public, you're just like, ignore him?
Yes.
No, hey, you okay over there?
Raul, welcome to Nebraska. There's
yeah.
something wrong right next to you. You just...
Bro, I've been a
face
keynote.
Forward.
No.
You live your life. It's almost like a New York thing. It's like, yeah, there's a whirlwind happening next to me. I'm just going to mind my own
New
business.
New York is the worst.
I fucking hate New York. But I've been to Keno. I never heard of Keno before I moved here. And then I went to Keno.
Oh, boy.
And like, there's a called Big Red, whatever.
Big Red Keno.
Big Red, man. That girl there.
Never been
out
there.
To her, man. Bro, I've never met someone on meth. Before.
Coincidentally, her name was also Lakota.
Yeah, Lakota! You look a lot worse. What's it called? $400 and do better.
She was South Dakota.
South Dakota, not the North. What's it called? But what's it called? I get there and I like, hey, do Keno. I was like, what's Keno? Just give $5 and pick some numbers. Okay. And I go to the desk, the front desk, whatever, and she's like chewing on her shit. And I'm like,
yeah.
What's wrong with her? Is she okay? I don't know what meth was. I've never done meth, never will do meth, never seen anyone on meth.
Thank
Saw
goodness.
That.
I haven't either, actually, my entire life.
Now I'm big
no.
thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like you go to like an after hours party and people are like, oh, hell yeah, we got some meth,
baby.
Do you
have any after hours tonight? We should go to after hours tonight.
My after hours is going to bed at 9. I'm just kidding.
Good job.
Yeah, after hours is watching a movie on your iPad. In bed, it's like, oh fuck, I'm gonna squeeze this one out.
I'm gonna hit a bar classmate.
Okay, all right. I want to close with the story, you guys. Raul, thank you so much for being
yeah,
on
sure,
the show, man. This has been so much fun, dude.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Great guy. Remember this guy's name, Raul Herrera. Hey, real quick, before I close with the story, where can people find your stuff? Like, if you wanted to show people your stuff, where can they find it?
Go on YouTube.
If you have a website.
I don't have a website. I probably have like two websites, but
okay.
that I don't remember from WordPress or whatever the fuck.
Right.
But just look me up on YouTube. Raul Herrera, Raul space Herrera. Look me up on Instagram. Rawrule. Raul.
Oh.
You see that, how that goes? Besides that, man, you'll see me no matter what, man. You don't have to follow me. Do whatever you want. I'll see you no matter what.
We'll see you no matter what.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go, guys. I don't know what made me think of that. I think Big Red Keno made me think of this.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a Caribbean restaurant on 72nd and Grant. It's called Caribbean Delight. It's delicious.
Delicious.
They have the best. Their jerk chicken is delicious, but the brown stew
jerk
chicken.
Jerk is Jamaican?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the brown stew chicken is out of this world. So I call in an order. Call in for carry out. And it's going to be about 20 minutes, whatever. I go in there to pick up my food. They're super busy. They're like, sorry, it's going to be another 20 minutes. No problem. I'm just going to shoot down to the bar at the end of this strip. It's called Aussie's Pub. Aussie's Pub has a kangaroo on the sign. So it is,
Aussie.
I say Aussie, that's not like an Irish name. No, they're referring to Australians.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird...
Aussie.
Anyway.
Are you there?
So, Aussie about it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, God.
So, I go into this bar, and it's probably like 4:30 on a Wednesday. Right?
Yeah.
I go in there, and super empty, younger bartender, and she is... just serving the regulars, and there's like three guys, I would say above the age of 50, hanging out at the bar. 4 o'clock, Nebraska guys hanging out.
Yeah.
And one of the guys is like kind of menacing. Like he's super tall, and he's got blonde, long hair, and he's like fucking all in this guy's face telling a story, just like, you should have seen it, man. You know, like really, really intense.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
yeah, White Walker. He
yeah.
was a White Walker.
Yeah.
He was the fucking, he was not the Frost Queen King. He was not the top brass of the White Walkers, but menacing. Anyway.
What is that? Is that some Star Wars shit?
That's
no,
Game,
of,
Game
Thrones.
Of Thrones. Come on.
That's another thing.
Oh, it's tattoos that I fucking like.
Sorry. So, okay. All right, so this guy gets increasingly menacing, and I'm only there for whatever, maybe 15 minutes. And at the end of it, it was in the wintertime, and there was like a, on the bar, you know those, it's like a potpourri thing, but okay, so it's a candle that melts wax in a little dish on top of it. Like it gets the dish hot, and then the wax.
It's like electric wax.
You got one in the back. It's electric wax. Thank you. Okay, this menacing motherfucker, he looked like Bob. From Twin Peaks. He looked like Bob from Twin Peaks. Sorry.
Yeah, Bob from Twin
Peaks. Sorry,
young. Google it.
So Google it. Okay, so he walks over to the bartender who is clearly already creeped out by this guy.
Young girl.
And young girl.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I guess we better close out. I'm driving everybody crazy here. And I was like, I'm tuning into this right now. Like,
for
this
sure.
is great. He grabs the dish of melted wax. No. And he's just like, oh, this is pretty cool. No reaction. He's like, oh my God, you guys, I forgot a fucking key part of this. No, I'll just catch on.
Go ahead.
Side.
What are you
okay.
doing?
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
You're doing great.
So he picks up the dish of wax. No reaction. I'm like, oh, that's gotta be hot. And he's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Smells pretty good. And then the reaction. Oh my God, and he throws it and he gets in his hair and it gets on his hand and there's only three people at the bar. Me, two old guys, and fucking 16-year-old bartender, you know,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
all just like, ah! And he's like screaming to himself, ah! It is everywhere, dude. Like, the wax was on his hand. It was on his... I remember it was on his jean jacket sleeve, and it was just like, Jesus. And he had long hair, and he threw it up, so it, like, got in his
hair.
I don't know if it got on his face, but...
Well, the only way to kill a White Walker is through fire.
Dude.
That's what I'm saying.
So, this White Walker killed himself. So he ran out of the bar. And nobody is saying a thing. And it was at this moment that I was like, I'm so glad that I came over here to have a beer.
You said
just
that loud?
But no.
Oh.
What I said out loud was, holy
wow.
shit, what was that?
Wow.
And this is what they told me. They had all been traumatized by this White Walker
it's
for like the last
hour.
Yeah, no, they were like... Well, he came in here and he, like, wouldn't stop talking to people. He was at an AA meeting in the same strip plaza. I'm not going to call it a mall. That's not what it was.
Shit.
Got kicked out of the AA meeting and came to the bar, harassed everybody, and then dumped wax on himself. Hey, everybody. This is episode 17 of Omaha Talks. Thanks for listening. You know, we went off the rails, then we jumped back on them, then we went back off them, and then we jumped back on them.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening. Thanks to all our Patreon subscribers. Check us out. Leave us a review. Let us know how good this was. Because if you're saying bad stuff and we don't want to hear it, keep it to yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.